This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. It's August, the height of vacation season. Tens of millions of Americans are on the road and seeing higher gasoline prices than they've seen before, no matter where they drive. The price of a gallon of regular gas is up 20 cents over the last 3 weeks, up 30% since last summer. It could be going higher still. Joining us to talk about this painful reality and its possible effects on politics is NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, welcome back to the show. And are these really the highest gas prices we've ever seen?
If you pull off the highway right now, you're going to see numbers that are higher than you've ever seen. They're going to be up around $3. But if you go back to 1981 and you change the dollars to account for inflation, you're going to see an even higher price. That was over $3 on average nationwide, higher on the coasts even then. So that was actually worse. But we're getting close. And if the level keeps going up the way it has in the last some months, we'll get to that same level of 1981.
What's causing the run-up right now? Is there a problem somewhere in the system, do you think?
The system is actually working very close to capacity. So the problem is really global demand. We've got India and China using lots more oil for their industry, and we've got in the United States more demand than ever for gasoline. In the past, the big price spikes that we saw in the 1970s came because somebody put a crimp in the supply. Right now, we're at virtually full capacity output worldwide. So any supply interruption, of course, would send the prices soaring even further.
Do political analysts try to figure out how Americans feel about this? They must. How do voters feel? Do they think that someone is to blame or something is to blame? Or is this just the way the world is?
We've had a whole generation of Americans grow up since the last really big oil spikes in the 1970s. So people don't necessarily have a worked out system for relating to this. Not all Americans do. Some blame the oil companies, of course, and the oil companies have seen a big profit increase this year. Some blame the exporting countries. That's always been a villain we love to hate. And some blame the Bush administration, which has taken the attitude that there really isn't anything you can do about these prices. It's a long-term problem, and energy is a long-term concern. Some blame Congress because the energy bill that was just passed this summer is really not focused on conservation or lowering demand. It's more focused on production and giving incentives to production. And I suppose there are some people who are even blaming us, the consumers, for using more oil all the time.
How will this play out when people come back from the congressional recess and start talking to each other again in Congress?
Well, we don't have any elections this year on the federal level, and we have not had a lot of experience in the past with elections that were purely about oil. There was a big oil spike in 1973, but that was the Watergate era, and that overshadowed everything. In 1979, we had another big oil spike, and Jimmy Carter lost the presidency in 1980, but I think most people would agree that he had other problems as well. So what we do have is we have elections about the economy, and the economy could eventually show some ill effects from these high oil prices. If they start to make everything else cost more and make transportation cost more, that could restrict the otherwise healthy growth of the economy that we're seeing right now. One other thing to think about is that we are building up a class of oil price hostages in the United States with the people who have bigger cars, who have SUVs, people who have longer commutes. These people are going to be more angry than most. And generally, that's a natural Republican constituency. So we'll see what effect that has on Republicans in 2006 and 2008.
Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor. Ron's political column, Watching Washington, runs every Monday on our website, npr.org. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.